Hey everybody, this is B. Javon, aka the Terrible Australian. I am here with Super Marcy. Hello, Marcy, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad, not too bad. Just keeping myself busy and whatnot, and just keeping up with lots of work on the website as of late. And how about yourself,
And
Marcy?
being I've just been busy trying to get my knitting store up and running.
Awesome.
So yeah, look that up. It's called Little Lily Store.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
We'll have to put a link to that in the
Yes,
on the
we will.
webpage. But
Yes, we will.
also joining us is B. Hello, B. How are you?
Ah, good morning, good afternoon, and good night, everyone. I hope everyone is doing well.
Yeah, pretty good, thanks, B. How about yourself?
I wasn't asking you, Bede.
I don't even know why I even bother anymore. But anyways, other than feeling sorry for myself, all three of us are here because we are all doing a audio review on the film Pitch Perfect 2. And for those who out there who don't know what this movie is about, of course, it is the sequel to the 2012 surprise sleeper hit Pitch Perfect. And the plot to this film is the Barton Bellas, sort of the a cappella group of the university that has Anna Kendrick, Brittany Snow, Rebel Wilson, and a whole bunch of others. During an incident at Washington, D.C., they are pretty much banned from the a cappella circuit. And in a way to sort of redeem themselves, they decide to go up against the German team at the World A Cappella Championships. And of course, along the way, a lot of mishaps and all that type of stuff seems to happen, but which is the basic plot of this movie as I could possibly.
A lot of the movie's plot is based around Rebel Wilson's badge. Let's just put it that way.
Of course, it's the enticing incident of this movie, Marcy. But anyways, Marcy, tell us your thoughts on Pitch Perfect 2.
Right. Well, I really did enjoy the first movie. I didn't think I would, but it was really good. It wasn't your typical kind of Glee ripoff or anything. And the music was really good. It was a fun movie. So I thought, yeah, I'll definitely go see the sequel. And after putting it off because I wasn't well, I did finally get to see it. Yeah, I had a lot of fun. It kind of follows the same formula as the first one. Like an incident that happens that throws them in turmoil, a new person shows up. There's a love interest, they learn to get along, and then they perform really well at the end. So, yeah, it kind of follows the same thing. Just being a little bit different. And the new girl this time around is Hailee Steinfeld, who I didn't actually realize was her until the end, because I'm sitting there going, oh, where's that? She looks so familiar.
Yes, the little girl from True Grit is all grown up now, Marcy.
Yes. But yeah, reunites all the old, well, not the old, but the characters from the first one. And to keep Brittany Snow around, I thought it was kind of funny that she just kept flunking a class so she could still be in the group, which is pretty funny. And of course, Rebel Wilson pretty much steals the show.
Yeah. I'd say she has even more to do this time around than she did in the first film.
Yeah, she's got a full-on love interest, and it's really cute. And her little, like, song on the boat is pretty funny. Yeah, my review is like so not an actual review rather than just gushing about the movie.
Well, that's what you should. If you think this is bad, Marcy, you should hear mine and Chris's gushing on the Mad Max Fury Road
I
review.
did hear that.
But I'm interested to hear what B thinks of Pitch Perfect 2.
All right, well, my general thoughts on Pitch Perfect 2 is it's much the same as what you two have. It follows essentially the very same, if not somewhat alterated, formula of the first movie, and it is a formula that works. When it comes to a movie like this, there is only so much you can do. But you know what? I am so glad that Rebel Wilson, who is not traditionally like Hollywood standard, you know, she gets a love interest and is actually a very sort of sweet
cute story. Now, there are a couple of jokes in the film that make, you know, make jokes at her expense, you know, because she's a really robust lass. But I am very happy that there is some great representation in this movie in terms of Rebel Wilson's character. And, you know, I love Rebel Wilson. Like, that woman is darling to me. I absolutely love her. I thought the rest of the cast were quite good, and I did like the songs. I found myself saying, you know what, this is actually quite good. Considering this is most of the cast doing it themselves again, I got to say, I'm very, very impressed. When you're an actor, you tend not to focus too much on singing, and in some movies, as you've probably seen, like, you'll have a really great actor, but then they'll have a terrible singing voice. And I'm so glad they still had this bunch of really talented young women who can still sing and act at the same time. Very, very happy with it. Even though the plot was incredibly basic, and once again, what can you do, really? It does well at what it does, and it's still a very likeable movie, just like the first one was.
And I might point out, the hot, tall blonde from the German team, she's actually in this week's Game of Thrones.
Yes.
I'm going, I know who that is. Then I'm like, it's the girl from Pitch Perfect 2.
Was she really? I only just watched the episode thus now. I have to go back and watch it now just to.
Yeah, she's with the Wildlings.
Oh.
But she's got dark hair.
Oh, that's probably why I didn't recognize her.
Yeah.
But, I'm actually
the movie how Anna Kendrick just couldn't come up with any comebacks, so she's just like
totally in love,
mesmerized by her hotness.
To be fair, I can't blame Anna Kendrick because I can't remember the character's name, but she is totally mesmerizing, and I wouldn't blame Anna Kendrick for feeling the same way too.
Andy.
Okay, that was awkward, but anyways. my thoughts on the movie. Yeah, I have to agree with the both of you. I really did enjoy the film a lot. I'd say it's just as good as the first, and which I thought was a pretty pleasant surprise. And yeah, it's pretty much the same sort of basic premise as the first. But, you know, I mean, if it ain't broke, you know. But I think the cast all did a really good job with their performances. It's really funny. The musical sequences are phenomenal. Like, they're just fantastic. And also, I agree with the sort of subplot where the sort of romance with Fat Amy. I thought that was actually cute and rather effective. And it's just a really fun and really just entertaining comedy. And it's very rare that, you know, a sequel to a comedy that is just as good as the previous film. Because usually, most of the time, they kind of end up being worse than the original. But I think this is quite the exception with this one.
Yeah, it kind of went with the, like, Home Alone 2 or Die Hard 2 kind of thing with basically repeating the plot. But yeah, having those little differences. But again, like, it's entertaining. The music and well, the songs are really good. I liked the I don't know what the hell they called it. The, like, what they did in the first one, the kind of
They sort
acapella
of like
off? I
like,
don't know.
Yeah, like, I guess you could call it that, an acapella off.
Yeah. That was really well done. There was a lot of good, like, mashups and stuff, and I thought it was good that they kind of added the subplot with Anna Kendrick's character interning at the music studio.
Yep.
And having that guy that's in that I forgot the show. Isn't that comedy show?
Oh, is it?
Key Appeal, I
think. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He was really good. I can't remember the actor's name, but
yeah,
he was really good.
That's all I know him from. I think he's Key.
Keegan Michael Key, yeah. I just looked it up, just said.
And Snoop Dogg was just randomly in there as well.
And singing a very bizarre version of a bunch of Christmas classics, which I found to be really hilarious.
Yeah, it was really random. That's really random.
It is, but one thing I do want to talk about with the two of you, I wanted to know what your thoughts on this is. Actually, what makes this film really interesting to me and really happy is that this is the feature-length directorial debut of actress Elizabeth Banks, and I don't know about you two, but I thought for her first feature directing debut, I thought she did a really great job directing wise. Like that.
Yeah.
I think, like, you know, I don't even really have any problem with her direction here. I think it was like I know she sort of did a couple of short films and all that prior to this one, but you know, just to gain a bit of practice. And I thought she did really well, particularly with the very last sort of musical number, which I thought was really well directed. Mm-hmm. And B, what did you think of Elizabeth Banks's direction of the film?
Oh, well done, Liz. Considering the last time that she directed was that in that horrible movie 43,
yes,
a movie I really did not like. well, it's a very great start in the right direction. Considering once again it is her feature length debut, and a lot was resting on her shoulders. The first film is very well loved. It has a decent fan base, and it's got, you know, a great thing going. So if she ever messed it up or completely missed the point, she would have suffered greatly professionally. And I'm so glad that she took the time to cast all these really interesting and funny young women, and she knew how to use them. She knew how to use the actors, the music, everything. She helped to craft a very good and fun film. So kudos to her.
I agree. And yeah. I'm also really happy for the fact that this movie, like, at the box office has been huge. Like really huge. I think this actually made more on its first weekend in the US than it did, than the original did in its entire run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that just goes to show that it's got a big fan base, and this is, like, the kind of, I guess you could call it almost a smart-ish comedy that people do want to see. And the fact that it's mostly women and you've got a woman director, it speaks volumes that, yeah, women can carry a film, people.
Yeah. And I definitely, in terms of negatives, Marcy, is there anything that stood out to you, I did a beat just then, stood out to you in terms of negatives about the film?
I didn't really have that many negatives. I think it kind of followed the formula that worked, so it didn't really bother me too much. If there's any negatives, it's just like, we don't really need to fat jokes or, you know, but I kind of think in a way they're almost done ironically, just like, and I forgot the guy's name, the one that does the talking with the Elizabeth Banks character, and his just comments are really like sexist and misogynist, but it's done in a way like, you know, it's stupid.
Yeah.
You don't take it seriously because the way it's presented is like, this guy's a complete idiot.
Exactly.
John Michael Higgins is
I was just about to say his name. And B, is there any negatives that you sort of found with this film?
Oh, look, I don't think anything was particularly unlikable in this movie. It's all very light and good-natured. There's nothing that Marcy hasn't already said that did strike me. In terms of, say, a lot of the fat jokes towards Fat Amy, you know, that seemed to be a kind of a running thing, and I wish it didn't always have to fall back on that. This is a bunch of really funny people, and it's, like, really great script. So if they could find a little more original material rather than, like, fall back on body humor, I think that'd be fantastic. But as Marcy said, it's all done, you know, ironically and in good fun. Like, the really misogynistic guy, he's an idiot, and that's what a misogynist is, and a misogynist is an idiot. So,
if anything, the movie sort of pokes fun at his misogyny, just how
outrageous
the things he's
you
said.
Have to be pretty damn freaking stupid if you didn't understand that. And, you know, God forbid we awaken the triggers. So, yeah, I'm very, very happy that it has stuck with a formula that works. And even if it's said that it's unoriginal, which it kind of is, it's still fun. So generic doesn't mean bad in my books.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I can't really think of anything too negative. Like I said, I did enjoy the film, but I think the only really negatives I could think of is I felt this movie has a pretty huge cast, and I did feel like some of the actors were a bit underused. Like some of the sort of my favorite characters from the first film, like the character of Lily, played by Hannah Maley, the sort of token Asian character who kind of speaks in a very low voice, who kind of says these really bizarre and kind of...
Yeah, I was going to say, really needed more of her because she was really funny.
Yeah, I loved her in the first film, and I felt like, even though she did have some really great moments, but they were kind of, we didn't get to see more of her in the film. And, you know, a couple of sort of other members on the team could have given more to do. And, like, for example, there's two girls on the team I don't think even speak a line at all during the course of the film. And I was sort of, like, thinking, were they new? But then I found out that they were actually in the first film, so I don't know if they had lines in the first film or not. But, and, of course, you know, you can't go wrong with needing having more Katie Sagal, because I actually forgot she was actually in this movie, and I was really pleasantly surprised.
She totally needed to sing more.
Oh, yeah, definitely. For sure. But overall, I think Pitch Perfect 2 is a really fun film, and I definitely would recommend everyone to check out. Like, it's not going to be a film that's going to change your life anyway, but I think if you're looking for a reasonable... film that you can enjoy for 2 hours with great set of characters, great writing, and also some pretty awesome songs to boot, I would definitely recommend everyone to check this one out.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
For sure. And may I just say something? As you said, Bede, like, when it was on its opening weekend in the States, if I'm not mistaken, it made a little more money than Mad Max Fury Road, and everybody was getting all pissed off about that. I mean, what did you two think, like, when you heard about that reaction?
Well,
I think shared the same reaction. I'll just say that. I'll let Bede, because he wrote a really good thing on Facebook about it.
Yeah, well, I was really happy about it. I know some people were kind of, you know, upset that Pitch Perfect 2 beat out Mad Max Fury Road. I mean, don't get me wrong, I absolutely love Mad Max. It's my favorite film
of the
year.
Still haven't seen it.
Yeah, but definitely see it when you can, Marcy. But I was actually happy that, you know, Pitch Perfect 2 was number one, because for me it was a big win for both, you know, movies that have entire female casts, and also for films that are directed by women. And I think this is probably one of the highest grossing opening weekends ever for a female director. And I think it deserves all the success. And I'm really happy that, you know, for Elizabeth Banks as well. And also you got Mad Max, which of course is a film that has strong female characters and, you know, has great feminist themes in it. And the fact that these two films were number one and number two at the box office on the same weekend in the US, I think it's just a major win for, you know, women in both the acting and filmmaking worlds.
When you think about it, it's kind of cool that both of these films were released around the same time. It's almost like they're running concurrently. They actually complement each other rather than, you know, struggle against each other.
Exactly. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And all sort of, you know, and I think it's great that this, you know, this and Mad Max both came out at the same time, but especially because, you know, there has been a lot of, you know, talk about how both actresses and female filmmakers aren't giving enough credit or in the industry. And I think with the fact that these two films have been released, and particularly with Pitch Perfect 2, it's like, it'll show the studios that, you know, there are audience out there who want to see these type of films, and they want to see films would have, you know, great female characters and films that are made by female directors. Like, you know, I think if, you know, they just, you know, just look into that and see that, you know, that this is a good thing, and hopefully very soon we'll start to see more of that in the future.
Yeah. If people are listening that like follow my Facebook, you would have seen yesterday quite a few articles went up about my sister and with Reese Witherspoon, with their production company and what they're trying to do. It's like, women deserve equal time in Hollywood. They want to do stuff, you know, for really strong, well-written roles for women. And not saying like men shouldn't have it. It's just like, let's get it on equal ground. And I'll just reshare on the podcast page.
Yep.
A really good article about my sister that people can check out. So, yeah.
It's a great read. It really is.
I agree. It was a great read as well. And I definitely recommend everyone to read that article.
I've just finished it now. So.
Now, any final thoughts on this film before we wrap up this audio review?
It was awesome and I enjoyed it.
Awesome.
It was very, very cute and it really does, you know, serve the bill very well.
I agree. And like I said, I recommend everyone to go check it out. So if you haven't seen it yet, or I'd definitely go watch it. I think you'll be thoroughly entertained. Now, Marcy, what rating would you give this film?
Probably 4 out of 5.
B?
Yeah, about a 4 out of 5.
I'll give it a 3.5. Like I said, there's nothing, you know, particularly new about it. I think if there was, you know, added something a bit, you know, to make it a bit different, then it probably might go up. But I think for what it is, I think it's still really good and really enjoyable. So that's 3.5 from me. So, yep, that's our audio review of Pitch Perfect 2. I hope all our listeners really enjoyed it. And Marcy, where can people find you on the internet this week?
You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/supermarcy. You can find me, hopefully on supermarcy.com if I can manage to actually write anything just due to health. You can like our page on facebook.com/sm.com/superpodcast. And if you would like, you can check out my new Etsy store and, you can like the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/littlelilystore. And the Etsy link, hopefully I can find it. It should just be like, I think Etsy.com/littlelilystore or Etsy.com/au/shop/littlelilystore. And I've got a bunch of stuff up for sale that I've made myself.
It's really, really awesome stuff, guys. Check it out.
And B does own some of the stuff that I've made. So yes, she can definitely say, like, yeah, it's awesome.
She's not only is V a member, she's also the president. Sorry, I just had to make that joke. But
wait. Sorry, you can also find me perving at pictures of Jon Snow because he was incredibly attractive this episode.
Indeed. Real. I mean, what?
this episode, he knew something. He didn't know nothing.
Sorry.
That's true.
Okay, my stomach hurt. Yeah, that just made me laugh. Sorry. Sorry. I'm trying to get the episode back on track. B, where can people find you on the internet this week?
In your closet, under your bed, in your toilet, in your head.
Oh my God, she's a ghoulie in the toilet.
You can find me on supermarcy.com. You can also find me at adventureamigos.net, as well as morehorror.com and Wolf in a Gorilla Suit as Lilith Sinclair, because that's my pen name.
Awesome. You can find me not knowing anything, just like Jon Snow, on a daily basis. And also you can find me at my Twitter page at twitter.com/bejamine. Or my Facebook page at facebook.com/bejamine, or my fan page at facebook.com/terribleaussie, and as well as all my weekly writings at supermarcy.com. I hope our listeners enjoyed this review, and we'll see you all later. See you, everyone.
See ya.